Hey, you. Want access to exclusive secret ops intel? Check out the link in the description.
The answer should be yes until no. We'll figure that out. I don't want to go in with preconceived notions of why it won't work, because if we don't try it, it might have been possible and we just didn't realize we put too much emphasis on one aspect.
Welcome to Secret Ops, the podcast uncovering the world of operations, one episode at a time. I'm your host, Ariana Caffone, and today's guest is Allison Stewart, co-founder and chief operating officer at Overalls, which is a life concierge. I'm going to repeat that again. Overalls is a life concierge. Fascinating, because I would say it's a new employee benefit for modern day times, where essentially you have a problem, they can help you solve it. Now, Allison is an operator through and through. It's like talking into a mirror sometimes, because I told her after the interview ended, she was able to articulate things that I had felt for many years, but I didn't know how to describe. So let's jump in. As a fellow operator, I was really intrigued around the theme strategic doers, which both you and I are. Meaning that we aren't just the strategic sort of implementer or decider, but that we're also doing that strategy implementation. So can you talk to me about what that means for you in your day-to-day, and then also that transition that you made from working in a larger corporation to then founding a business, and how that changed you as an operator?
Yeah, definitely. So for me, day-to-day strategic doer, what that looks like is setting the direction of the organization and then actually taking a large ownership in how we get that done and doing it. You know, in a startup, we have a very lean team. So, you know, it's, and to me, that's fun. You know, as operators, we like to have our hands in a lot of different pots. And so being able to drive the strategy and implement it in real time, I think is very different than what I'd experienced at a large company, where you spend so much time talking about the strategic direction and setting it, and then it's almost like months and months before you can realize some of that strategy, just because of how large and matrixed organizations are, where in this environment and as a strategic doer, which I do think like that gets harder at larger companies unless you have a more discrete kind of focus. But for me, that's been, you know, one of the most exciting changes about jumping from a large company to a small company is really looking at the information, making these decisions on where we want to take the company and the operation, and then implementing them and kind of being that person that's leading that, doing the work with support of my team. So it's been really fun to be on this journey.
It's interesting to me because I have been a part of teams where my contribution was only strategic, right? I'm bringing in my operational experience and I'm strategically trying to advise you on what I think you should do operationally. And then in the majority of businesses I work with, I'm diving in, I'm helping to do the thing, or I'm managing the teams that are implementing. I find sometimes there's a hard balance where when I'm thinking just strategically, I can't help but think of like, what does this look like in real time? But the thing is, innovation comes from thinking almost of the impossible. So if I'm only thinking of the possible, I limit myself. Do you find that as well? And have you found a good hack of balancing those two?
Yeah, I would say like when I first shifted gears from large company to startup and founding Overalls, it was that like I was stuck in more of the like, what can we do? Like, what is the realm of possibility? But then really starting to challenge, it's like, well, we didn't, you know, we don't have data in a lot of places when we're making decisions, and being able to learn quickly, which I think is a benefit of being a small company. We're a bit more nimble. So, you know, I think over time I've become more comfortable with the, you know, it doesn't matter. We don't have to have it all figured out at this stage, but let's try something. The answer should be yes until it's no. And then we have reasons why it's a no. I don't need to look for all of the reasons up front. Maybe there's a couple of key categories that we need to consider, but I don't want to go in with preconceived notions of why it won't work. Like let's learn together through this process, because if we don't try it, it might have been possible and we just didn't realize, or we put too much emphasis on one aspect that didn't end up materializing in the way that we thought. So it's been definitely a learning experience for me personally to kind of get there.
That's honestly such a good point. And I think about myself as a young operator, and that's where I made, I would say, mistakes looking back now. I can't think about perfect execution. I have to think about what could be possible. That was a huge growth in going from more of a like junior or mid-level operator into a COO, into an operations advisor. What were some other pieces that you've learned along the way in thinking as a COO that's different than someone who's executing at the low level only?
I think it's figuring out like what's important and what to worry about. So really kind of stepping back and looking across kind of the goals and being reminded of what are we trying to achieve, and then, you know, worry about some of the nitty gritty after. And it's also allowing folks to have that time to think. I think as like early operators in an organization, you were very focused on becoming experts and understanding our space and being efficient and getting the results. Personally, I have to consciously take the time to think more strategically and make that time in my day to sit back and say, okay, you know, is this the right direction? Are there things that we should be doing differently? Where do we want to take this organization? How is the operation doing? Like, what other things should I be thinking about? Because it's so easy to get kind of lost in the day-to-day because there's always so much going on. But, you know, that's the other thing, trying to encourage folks to make that time for strategic thinking at any level of seniority throughout your job progression.
You said so many good things that I want to just like highlight them. The first one is having a spirit of, hey, we might fail at this, but let's give it a try, is where the innovation and operations really happens. And that starts with the leadership level. You know, if you have somebody that is saying, we're going to try something that may seem impossible and it's okay if we fail at it, but we're going to give it a shot. There's such a freedom. And I find that a team really is energized by that. Another thing that I do want to talk about on a whole different level is prioritization and articulating the why behind the strategy. And that's a big piece of being a COO that I found, which is I've got to really fully understand the why of the leadership team and why we're doing something. And then I have to figure out the best way to translate that to my operators. And each of them may need a different why of the reason behind this initiative, but that's my job. And I found that the better I got at that skill, the better we were at executing, because I pretty much could figure out the light bulb for each person. And it's different for every person. Some people are nerding out on the data, on the technology, on the process, on, you know, right? And it's figuring out how to translate that is so difficult, but it is really a skill that unlocks so much potential in the team. And then I think the time that strategy takes to think about, I'm just going to speak personally, for me, it's scary to slow down. And strategy and thinking strategically requires quiet and it requires space. All of those things are delicious pieces of, I think, what makes a really top-notch COO or operations person. So I'm curious, just from an outside view, how have you approached helping your team prioritize and constantly sort of reassess those prioritizations throughout the year? Is it something that you have a cadence to? Do you meet? Do you have a tracker? Like, how, what does that look like in the overall operations?
Yeah. In true sort of young company startup fashion, there's probably like 20 different trackers out there that we've used over time and then retired. And like, you know, the challenge of like, it's great to have a tracker, but then there's effort and time involved in like managing the tracker. And then at some point, you're like, is this adding value? You know, are we prioritizing? Like, we're spending too much time now trying to maintain a tracker.
The tracker
to overcomplicated
to
it, you know, like, so it's, yeah, we have to build into the tracker to do the work on the tracker. And it's just like, doesn't help anyone. So it's finding that right balance. And I think that's like how I help the team prioritize too. So our biggest goal, you know, my operation, we're client facing, we support employer clients that are buying our service, and we're delivering the end service to their employees. And so ultimately, the success of Overalls, you know, lays heavily in my team's hands and how we deliver our service. The be all end all kind of our priority is the customer. And a lot of companies say that, right? My operation is directly touching our customers kind of on both ends, the employers as they join Overalls and become members, and, you know, account management is under operations, and then our actual service delivery. So working with their employees. And we have times where we are busier and it's all hands on deck. Everyone is doing kind of whatever it takes to service our customers and meet their needs. And that's always going to be our top priority. So we'll set priorities under that. And then when things happen and, you know, we have a customer deadline, everyone will shift and that's the priority. But all of the things that we're doing, all of the different initiatives roll up to delivering that customer experience, maintaining our satisfaction. And I would try to keep it simple in that way. And in previous companies, you know, you have like the top 10 global initiatives, and then each department has like 20 things off of those initiatives. And then, you know, it's all, and there's, and then you're like, well, which, this is, it's very overwhelming. So we kind of keep it very simple and keep our goals, you know, three key KPIs around sales, efficiency, and, you know, customer service. And I tie it back to all of those. If the activity that we're doing is sort of like a nice to have, but it doesn't clearly tie back to one of those three goals, then it's going to be deprioritized. But if it's a passion project and someone thinks it can help grow the business, you know, I like to try to allow time for folks to work on those things, because you never know. Back to, you know. Is this something that's going to like change the course? It could. But making sure that we're not spending a disproportionate amount of time on those activities. Certainly we have, you know, a 5-year, 10-year vision. But you know, that's all great to have, but if we're not a company in 1 year, then that stuff is less important. So like, what is our smaller goals that we're working towards that we can track, more like concrete progress against, you know, because totally. I think about some of the performance reviews from larger companies where you set your goals and it's like, I'm going to do this. And then you did it, but it wasn't, some of it just feels a little bit loosey goosey and not as defined, and like the evidence, or because you tried to put too many goals onto the plate. Cause there's this, I think, sense that we have to like, oh, if you don't have like, there weren't like 10, 20 things that you did or you worked on, then were you valuable, were you productive? It's like, well, no, I worked on these three things and I did them well and achieved our goals, you know? So I think more or less is more in a lot of times. And that's really how I try to focus the team, because then it's simple. Everybody understands the three goals, and in all of kind of the sub bodies of work or things that we're working on, it's, does it contribute back to this?
It comes like a common language too, right? Like, okay, so there's a lot of things we want to do, but we've got these three things that we're aiming towards. I find that even for myself, like I'm working with the CEO right now, and I will easily get distracted into like, oh, does this technology tie into this? We could automate this and integrate that. You know, like I'm immediately trying to figure out this pipeline of data and making it better. And he has to shake me out and say, no, don't go down the rabbit hole on that. Like, that's not it, because that's not the goal that we have right now. And so it becomes that sort of that common North Star that we both can say, okay, you're right. Ugh, all right. And I don't have the bandwidth. All right. It's also the clarity and the simplicity it takes to say, this is what we're going towards. It's very hard. I don't want people to think that's easy. True. To figure out. This is so difficult, but it's so necessary. It's easy to make something complicated. Anybody can do that. And it's easy to make something that only you understand. The hardest part is to make something that's universally understood, that people can really drive their efforts towards, which, gets me to a point that we were talking about when it comes to going from, you know, working for a large organization to then co-founding Overalls. I guess now we're more than halfway through the interview. Can you talk about what Overalls does? Because that really drives a lot of the things that you were talking about as far as that direct relationship with the customers. So just break down what Overalls does and how your operations team is tied into that service.
Yeah, absolutely. Overalls is a life concierge service. So we're essentially a personal assistant to our customers. We primarily work with employers, so they offer Overalls as an employee benefit. It's folks are like, are you like this benefit or that benefit? And we're really a new class of benefit. And we are a very inclusive benefit. Benefits in the United States have been targeted at, you know, specific groups of people. So you have your mothers and your caregiving benefits. You might have some specific benefits related to mental illness, but you end up having, outside of your major medical, a smorgasbord of benefits that when you need that benefit, you might not know that it exists, how to find it, or that it's even relevant to your life situation. And that's really where Overalls comes in and just is your front door for the employees. So anything going on in their life that's causing them stress, that's taking time away from work, now they have an extra set of hands in Overalls and their life concierge. So we help people schedule doctor's appointments, find in-network providers. You can go to your medical website and do that. They're going to give you a list of like 20 different providers. They say they're accepting new patients. You call an office. Oh, we're actually not accepting new patients right now. You call another one. And then next thing you know, you've spent 2 hours on the phone. And oh, by the way, you have to do that during core business hours. And oh, now you need a new pediatrician. And then, oh, you need a specialist. And it just sort of like snowballs and becomes overwhelming. And then like everyone has a to-do list. And there's just certain things that are always on that to-do list because you're never going to prioritize the time to do them. You're feeling exhausted and, you know, insert Overalls. Overalls is that set of hands that will help you sort of manage your life to-do list, whether it's finding a contractor to repair something around your home or bigger, like meatier life events that you just don't even know how to figure out. Like you've got elderly parents that you're trying to navigate, you know, do they need, an in-home nurse? Do they need to go to a living facility? Like, what are my options? What does insurance cover? You're like overwhelmed, like instantly overwhelmed. And so we are that friend in your corner, and we're real people solving real problems and saving people real time and stress. And to me, and my team is delivering that service. So I have the team of life concierges that are working with employees, working them through, you know, working with them and helping them through these life situations. And then also, you know, upfront with the employers, getting them onboarded into our system, understanding how we communicate the benefit and ensure that their employees have access. And, you know, we're Overalls is front and center when they need us most. And so it's been really rewarding because we've built something that people really love. They're getting value out of, and they're telling us every day, like how much time we save them, how thankful they were. And it's just a very relevant benefit. Like the mental load on folks these days is insane. Where technology has allowed us to do so much, but then you know you're like, I don't know that I want to be doing all of these things all at once. And you know, everyone, you know, working from home or sometimes likely all the time, depending on your role, you might be working at night too, because you had to leave to go take care of a child. And then you're working at night and then, oh, the home stuff. And it just really starts to add up and quickly become overwhelming. And that's where Overalls comes in. And then, you know, you should be taking that vacation. You need to use your vacation time. Overalls will help you plan your vacation too. Just really help you get through the to-do list and the life stressors that you're facing. And what's been really interesting is that those life stressors vary. But like what's stressing you out right now and on your to-do list is very different than what's on my to-do list. And that's the other real benefit of Overalls. It's an inclusive benefit. Anyone in your workforce can use it, and they'll use it for exactly how they need Overalls in that moment and what's stressing them out. So it's you know, it's not them trying to find a way to use a specific benefit that you've purchased that has a more narrow scope.
The irony of us discussing this when literally before we hopped on, I got to catch up on my inbox. Unfortunately, every email is an important email right now. And that's like, the irony of you saying that I'm so grateful for technology. It's given so much more flexibility to our lives, but it's also like a ball and chain. It's insanely hard to disconnect. And if you're constantly getting pulled into things, medical things, things around aging parents, children, pets, whatever it may be, it's like you never get to turn off. And that sounds like that's part of the gift is like, you know, that free time when you would be researching doctors to deal with this really intense health situation that you've got going on. Instead, why don't you just go lie down and have a nap and we'll take care of that. It's so insane, but that's literally, I feel like every moment of my day is spent injecting things that have to get done. If I only knew when I was younger how simple my life was. What do they say? Like, youth is wasted on the young. I'm like, girl, you were living the life, you know? Like,
yeah.
I'm so grateful for my life now, but there's so many plates that you spin. And it sounds like that can give you that time to really be present and live in the life that you've made instead of having to think about all those other things.
Absolutely. Because even when you're done work, like you have friends, family, things outside of work that if you're have to deal with those life stressors, like you can't take care of and enjoy those moments. I was thinking just recently about, you know, I've got three young kids and one of them just probably needs some more support with like reading, but I struggle because I've got all three. How do I focus on just one? And I've got such a limited time window with them in the evenings. And I'm just trying to think through ways that I can spend more time with him to help him with his needs. But I'm making dinner and I'm ordering groceries. I'm like, signups. Oh, summer camp. Ah, it's January. We got to figure out summer camps. And overalls can help do all of those things so that, you know, we can take that necessary time for ourselves or, you know, to be more present. So I love the way that you said that it's absolutely creating those moments to help people be more present.
Yeah. So it's a weird thing that you realize when you step back, like the greatest gift is the gift of time. And it's so fleeting in so many different ways. So any chance and any tool you have at your disposal to get that time back is really vital. Okay, Allison, it's already the end. This flew by. Thank you so much. I want to wrap up with some rapid fire questions to get to know you more as a human being. So I'm going to throw them your way and you just answer with the first thing that pops into your brain.
All right.
First question is, what is your favorite part of the day?
Oh, my favorite part of the day is the morning. I love to have a cup of coffee and I look through my to-do list every week. But for me, that's how I like to look kind of level set.
How do you take your coffee?
Black.
Ooh, like it.
Yep. Very simple.
What is the best purchase that you've made under $50?
Ooh, best purchase. Okay, so I have this new little like desk pad. It's a list for every day. I'm the type of person that has to write things out to like stay. And I would be writing on the back of envelopes and other places and it's in here. Once I write it down, it's in here. Bring in, you know, outside of work. This is something that I recently purchased that I really love. And it has a little spot at the bottom for like the doodles that we all, you know, we just, you know, be fidgeting a little bit.
I literally find myself doodling and it's just so perfect to have a little space on your to-do list for that. I'm going to steal that one.
Yeah.
What is something that makes you little kid happy?
Ooh. Little kid happy. Checking something off a to-do list. I don't know. I feel like I'm a very like operations focused person, like getting something done. Like when you think something's going to be take more time than it does, and then you get in there and you're like, oh, I blocked 2 hours for that. And it's done in, you know, less time. Like that makes me really happy because it's very invigorating and I feel like very accomplished.
That makes me irrationally happy. I'm going to tell you, it makes me irrationally happy because every time I put something on a to-do list, it always takes about three times as long as I think it's going to be. So when it's the reverse, it's mind blowing. What is the most important lesson you've learned so far in your life?
Ooh.
That's a big one.
That is a big one. One thing that I think I've learned to do really well is to really ask for and receive the opinions and feedback of others, just to make sure that, you know, like I'm seeing the full picture and not bringing any like bias or misinformation into the conversation. And I think as we, you know, are always challenging ourselves to get more done faster, it can be harder to take that time to step back. But particularly, you know, when things maybe aren't going as well as I think they need to be, taking that time to step back and understanding what's causing that, how'd we end up here, without, you know, pushing too hard, too fast, because that can be demotivating for folks around me, and can hurt like the end result. So kind of like making that time.
Last question for you, which is, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I could never answer that question ever. And I still can't. I'm a firm believer that if I say I want to be something specific, then I will miss other opportunities. I'll have like blinders on. And I think that's really why I love the operation space and being an operator, because you get to kind of touch a bunch of different functions in your core collaborator across the organization. And in some ways, I like to think for the heart of the operation, you know, kind of keeping everyone else, and everyone comes, you know, if there's a question about anything that's going on, operations is always kind of at the center or in the know, and kind of those connection points. So, you know, I don't have a dream job. I just want to always be learning and growing and feeling challenged, and working with really great people.
Allison, thank you so much for your brain and your knowledge. It was just so lovely to talk to another operator. If people are listening and they're like, I want to see what Allison is up to, I want to see what Overalls is up to, where can we point?
GetOveralls.com is a great way to see what Overalls is up to, or, you know, check me out on LinkedIn, Allison Stewart on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Allison, thank you again. We appreciate you so much. Secret Ops listeners, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your support. Please share the good news of Secret Ops. And remember, we're on YouTube, so check us out there and have a beautiful day. We'll see you next time.
Hey, listener. Do you want to be a top operator in business and in life? Well, we at Secret Ops are here to help you do just that. Check out our monthly Secret Ops newsletter with exclusive intel just for you. From bonus content to secret resources, we've given you the VIP access. To sign up, check out the link in the description. And as always, thanks for listening.